Hello everybody, welcome to the Boxing Science Podcast. This is episode 31, where we're going to be having a special Q&A episode with our performance nutritionist, Lee Rickards. He's going to be covering a range of different subjects all around nutrition for boxing and combat sports. Subjects that he's going to cover today is breakfast for boxing, nutrition during rehab phase, how to increase muscle mass, how to manage your calories during reduce training loads during fight week, and also what are the best ways to reduce sugar cravings. Before we get started, just like to ask a quick favour, if you could hit the subscribe button, whatever platform that you're on, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or any other podcast platform, just to follow the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes, but also support the growth of the channel. The better that the podcast becomes, the more popular it becomes, the more stuff that we can do with it, the more content that we can bring to you. Hopefully you enjoy this episode. Here's Lee Rickards answering your questions.
Okay, so in this nutrition Q&A, we've got five questions which I'm going to answer, okay? The first question was, what's the best breakfast for boxers to eat? So first and foremost, breakfast is the most important meal to eat per day if you're training frequently. The reason for this is there was a study by Metcalf in 2021. And what they did is they had a look at breakfast and then a lunch, or just having no breakfast but having the same amount of calories in a lunch as having breakfast and lunch together. What they found were that performance in the evening, so they did a 20-kilometre rowing performance, was worse in the group who had no breakfast compared to the group who had breakfast earlier. And this is probably just down to the absorption of actually it being in the muscles ready to be used for later in the day. Also, there's some studies out on intermittent fasting. So by James Betts and colleagues in 2014, what they found was that having a 700-calorie breakfast before 11 a.m. compared to not having it at all, so almost doing intermittent fasting by skipping breakfast, what they found is the group who skipped breakfast had lower physical activity levels later in the day. So basically that breakfast was affecting their amount of movement and energy for later on. So if you're an athlete, we need to perform at a high intensity, especially in boxing. So skipping breakfast or not having it is probably going to cause you to not work at a higher intensity. Also, it's probably going to make that exercise later in the day much more difficult. So this is certainly something we want to avoid. So in terms of types of breakfast, what we want to do is probably change these depending on the intensities of your training sessions you're doing. So if it's a high intensity training day, we want in high carbohydrates. So there it could be a bowl of porridge with some fruit. It could be a bowl of Greek yogurt with maybe some low sugar muesli. It could also be a couple of slices of whole grain toast with kind of two scrambled eggs. It could also be some kind of homemade kind of pancakes done with some oats and kind of banana, and then put a bit of Greek yogurt on top. If it's a lower intensity training day, we probably don't need as much energy or carbohydrates. So therefore what we could do is maybe have a couple of scrambled eggs with a bit of smoked salmon. We could maybe get a bit of turkey bacon and some sliced avocado and just put that on one slice of whole grain toast. If it's a rest day, or maybe we're wanting to just improve a bit of fat oxidation if we're going for a really light run, then maybe we don't need any carbohydrates at all. So maybe what we could do there is we could basically have just maybe like a cheese vegetable omelette. Or it may sound quite unusual, is you could almost just have some grilled steak with a bit of like salad and vegetables. Basically what we're trying to do here is we're just trying to increase protein to stop some lean muscle mass loss, but have a low carbohydrate intake just to help some fat oxidation. Now you may say, thinking, why maybe a bit of steak at breakfast? There is some research to say that actually doing some exercise and then having some red meat later in day can actually stop absorption. And that's just due to something which is released after exercise called hepcidin. And what that does, it can block iron absorption. So basically, if you're having iron earlier in the day, sometimes that can actually improve the absorption of it. And that's going to lead to sometimes a greater aerobic performance to make sure we're not iron deficient. So question number two was nutrition to help recovery from bone injuries. What I'm going to talk about is kind of nutrition around injury rehabilitation. Then I'm going to expand on actual bone health. So in terms of injury rehabilitation, if it's a bone injury, especially kind of a break or a fracture, it's going to require surgery. So what we'll do is we'll split this into three phases for nutrition from bone injury. We'll have the acute phase, which is basically the around the operation, so pre and post operation. Then we've got the injury rehabilitation phase, so kind of phase two. So basically what we're trying to do there is just help that injury recover as we're basically doing some rehabilitation. And then we've got kind of return to training and return to play. Nutrition. So in terms of the acute phase around that operation, there is quite a lot of research coming out now of nutrition around operation and what we can do to actually speed up the recovery. So Abby Smith Ryan and colleagues in 2020, they did a great paper on nutrition for perioperation. So what they say is having about 150 gram of carbohydrates and about 30 to 40 gram of protein in kind of the pre-operation meal, so if this is like 4 to 12 hours before, can help basically reduce that insulin resistance after having open wound surgery. Really important. I'd certainly say probably maybe put a bit of creatine within that. In terms of post-operation, as soon as you're coming out of kind of the operation theatre, a lot of kind of appetite can be reduced due to the surgery. So what we've done in the past with a lot of our athletes is get them to take some whey protein, so a whey protein drink after kind of the operation, and get some carbohydrates in there as well, just to help that wound healing. So what we're wanting is we're just wanting some energy and some protein there to stop some kind of a lot of muscle degradation. So same, aiming for about 50 to 150 gram of carbohydrates and at least 30 gram of protein. We'd probably put that from a smoothie. So you could easily have a whey protein with some skim milk and maybe some honey and banana smoothie, maybe just a couple slices of toast. From that, that leg is, or whether it's an arm in terms of a break, it's going to be immobilized. Now, there's a lot of studies which say around 5 days of limb immobilization can reduce muscle mass by 30%. And that's a really big kind of number. And that's going to delay your recovery from this injury. So certainly within those 5 days, what we want to do is we really want to increase protein. And I'd almost go as high as 3 grams per kilogram of protein. Now, also what we want is we want to be on a neutral energy balance. Now, many years ago, and I've been at fault for this as well, we used to think that because you're not doing as much exercise or as much energy expenditure, when you're injured, we need to reduce your energy intake. Now it's coming to light, it's probably the opposite. Because that injury needs energy and also macronutrients to help that recovery at a greater rate. So certainly don't reduce your energy intake by large amounts because we want this injury to recover. So keep on a neutral energy balance, still having good some complex carbohydrates, fruits and vegetables, and having protein intake really high. I'd still certainly recommend having 5 grams of creatine per day during this phase. And also another supplement after the creatine, which I would add, is probably having around 3 to 4 grams of omega-3. Now, what this omega-3 can do is can just help reduce that inflammation from this surgery. In terms of the rehabilitation phase, or phase two, what we want to do here is we still want to improve recovery of this kind of injury. So we don't want to be in a negative energy balance, because same again, that's going to slow that recovery down. And we still want to keep protein intake high. So it's very similar to that acute phase where we're wanting to just get a lot of nutrients and a lot of energy to this kind of area. In terms of supplements, I'd certainly say we probably want to have some calcium, if we're, especially if we're omitting dairy foods from the diet. We'd certainly want to have vitamin D. So having around 2,000 to 4,000 IU vitamin D, we want to have about 1,200 milligram, which is the recommended daily allowance of calcium per day. And that's usually equivalent to 3 to 4 servings of dairy, whether it's yogurts, cheese and milk per day. In terms of the return to play and return to training, what we want to do here is we want to slowly reduce our energy intake. So then we're getting towards our body mass target or what we need to compete at. But we want to do this over a longer period of time. What many people do is they will cut energy intake almost drastically then when they're ready to train. And because they're going to be on a really large energy deficit at that moment in time, there's a high probability of injury reoccurrence within that bone, especially if it's not fully healed. So certainly gradually come down, keeping protein intake high and probably reducing carbohydrates and some fats slightly. We're probably aiming for maybe say 20 to 30% energy deficit per day. In terms of foods, because that's just kind of what we eat rather than grams per kilogram. So to put into context in terms of foods, what we need to eat. So having foods which are high in dairy, so milk and yogurt's really important. So having that breakfast, you can have some overnight oats, you can just have some whole grain cereal with some milk and fruit. That's going to be really important. Also having some low-fat cheese, so whether we want kind of 2 or 3 egg omelette, same again with some cheese and vegetables in terms for breakfast foods. We also want some kind of protein and phosphorus in there, because that same again, that's really important to work with that calcium and vitamin D and magnesium for bone health. So having kind of a fist size or 20 to 30 gram portion of chicken breast with some whole grain carbohydrates, whether it's brown rice, you can even have some kind of wholemeal noodles or brown pasta, and having a good portion of 2 portions of fresh vegetables. A lot of green leafy vegetables are really important at this phase. And the reason for that is because they're high in vitamin K, And also really high in kind of B vitamins. And this is important for kind of nerve function. So when you have open wound surgery, you can get a lot of pain, even after the surgery. So really what we're trying to do there is just improve that kind of nerve formation. So that they're kind of certain kind of meals what we want to really aim for in the day. So really keeping protein intake high, plenty of different fruit and vegetables, especially green leafy and almost green vegetables, just to make sure we're getting enough calcium and vitamin K. Finally, what I would add is having kind of certain fruits which are really high in anthocyanins. By that, I mean it's kind of like dark purple and blue coloured berries. So kind of blueberries, blackberries, even strawberries, raspberries, and even some beetroot as well as high in anthocyanins as well, dietary nitrates. What this can do is it can help improve oxygen delivery. Now, this oxygen delivery and nutrients is going to improve that blood flow to an area which usually gets quite little blood flow to it to deliver nutrients to help it recover. So there are certain kind of foods and meals I would recommend for people to have whilst they are injured. So question number three was, I'm constantly in a calorie surplus, but I'm struggling to put on any weight. What can I do? Our bodies are really clever and adaptive. When we lose weight, what happens is because our body's kind of a survival mechanism and what it doesn't, it puts certain actions in what it doesn't like doing. So when we're losing weight, basically what our body will do is it'll make ourselves go colder because in terms of thermal regulation, it'll decrease the amount we want to move. So a lot of people who fidget a lot when they're dieting, that fidgeting kind of neat expenditure stops just because it's a survival mechanism to actually want in your body because it's having less energy to move less. Conversely, when we are putting on weight and trying to gain mass, the body does certain things where it gets warmer. So if you've heard of the meat sweat, so as you're increasing that food intake, what happens is you're usually quite hot a lot. Also, you'll start moving more because you've got more energy and your body's wanting to burn this. So in terms of the calorie surplus, people are quite surprised at actually how many calories and foods they've got to eat to actually gain weight. In terms of calorie surplus, what we kind of see quite often is actually sometimes you might be better off decreasing energy expenditure. So what a lot of people do is they'll try and be putting on weight, but they might be still doing 2, 3, 4 kind of cardiovascular sessions a week, as well as doing the weight training. Let's try and have one goal here. If we're trying to put on muscle mass and be in calorie surplus, let's try and decrease that energy expenditure a bit from those cardiovascular sessions, because that's going to help us gain mass at a quicker rate. We want to increase the amount of calories we're eating. So if we're looking at energy density, fat's a really energy dense source. So increasing some healthy fats in your foods is going to help increase that amount of calories we need to have. So adding some nut oils, whether it's macadamia nut or kind of even some sesame oil to our meals, looking at maybe increasing some avocados and maybe some crushed nuts to some vegetable dishes. This is just an easy way to get a bit more calories and healthy fats into our diet to help us be in even a greater calorie surplus to make sure we can put on weight. We still want to increase kind of have a high protein intake here, probably around 2.5 to 3 grams per kilogram. Now this is kind of a high intake than maybe what most people may think we need, but there is quite a lot of research coming. Actually, there's little negative side effects for actually having too much protein other than maybe increasing kind of satiety. Now, a study by Antonio in 2004, they found that a high protein group, which had up to 4 grams per kilogram, compared to just a normal protein group, what happened to theirs is they actually had more muscle mass, but had a lot less fat mass. So as we're in that calorie surplus, what that higher protein intake might help us to do is we're going to put more lean body mass on compared to fat mass. And that's really important what we're trying to do when we're trying to increase some muscle mass. We still want to have a high carbohydrate intake. This fuels the sessions for where we need to lift more weight or run quicker. So in terms of increasing carbohydrates in the diet, same, having a big carbohydrate meal can actually be quite daunting, especially when you're sick or eating to be in a calorie surplus. So there's certain things we can do here. Reduce fiber. So in terms of kind of your whole grain carbohydrates, even though those are really good for health and gut health, we don't really need to increase any more than going over this 25 to 30 gram fiber daily allowance. If we just keep having whole grain carbohydrates when we're trying to increase weight, that fiber intake is probably going to go to 45, 50 gram, and it's going to basically make us feel quite bloated and sick. So having some kind of just easy to digest, quick release carbohydrates, so looking at white rice, a lot of kind of the bodybuilder community are on this kind of ground rice hype or rice pudding, just because it's easy to get that amount of energy into our bodies without feeling full and still digesting quite well. I'd certainly say recommending some like jams and honeys to your foods. So getting a couple of tablespoons on these, whether it's your porridges in the morning or some of your yogurts, with maybe some like granola cereal. What a good thing would be to do is maybe to incorporate some fresh fruit juices. So looking at some not from concentrate juices, such as your Tropicanas, whether it's some apple, pineapple or orange juices, even some maybe some naked kind of fruit smoothies in there or innocent fruit smoothies. Now, I wouldn't recommend these to kind of the boxers who are trying to lose weight, certainly, because it's not going to make you feel full. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you're looking to gain some mass and we're still wanting plenty of good energy and good nutrients in there, there's nothing wrong in terms of incorporating them. And also what I would say is probably during the exercise sessions, use a carbohydrate drink. So whether it's a Lucozade, maybe get some maltodextrin, maybe say 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates into our bodies whilst we're exercising. Because same again, what that's going to do, it's going to increase his energy intake, but also it's probably going to have an additive effect to actually being able to lift more weight when we're in the gym to help us gain lean body mass when we're on that calorie surplus. Question four was, how do you choose your calorie intake on fight week when your training load is less? Very good question. And it does kind of sometimes need a bit of thought and also kind of analysis. So it's important to almost establish an athlete's kind of BMR, so basal metabolic rate. This basal metabolic rate is how much amount of energy your body just needs at complete rest to have normal kind of normal daily function. So what we'll try and do is within that kind of maybe 1 to 2 week period before fight week is try and take our athlete's basal metabolic rate. So for example, if we've got kind of light middleweight boxer whose basal metabolic rate is 1900 calories, then what we'll do on fight week is we'll aim for around 1900 calories depending on kind of what training they're doing. If they're doing absolutely nothing, so a lot of athletes will just maybe travel to the destination a couple of days before and do no exercise, we'll keep them on that. If they're doing kind of light exercise, we might times that number by 1.2. So maybe they might be having kind of 2,100 to maybe 2,200 calories. So almost 10 to 20% above your basal metabolic rate. Even if we went much greater than that, say maybe 500 calories, it's highly unlikely that you're going to gain any body fat from that, because we know that you need to be in a calorie surplus or over 3,600 calories to gain 1 pound of body fat. So what we want to do in these acute strategies, make sure we're probably on a low carbohydrate diet, because those carbohydrates are going to retain water. So if we have kind of 100 or 200 grams more of carbohydrates per day than compared to when we're training, what's that going to do? It's probably going to increase our weight by 0.5 kilograms. Whereas if we just had that in terms of protein and fat, for example, if we just maybe had some smashed avocado with scrambled eggs at breakfast, or kind of a high calorie meal to get to those basal metabolic rate, we're not really going to gain any weight from that, because we're on a low carbohydrate diet and also we're not going to be in a much higher calorie surplus. So that's kind of what we'd do on fight week. Certain kind of foods to get to that basal metabolic rate, we still want to kind of have a high protein intake to reduce lean muscle mass loss. So plant your eggs, chicken, salmon, steak, etc., even some full-fat Greek yogurt. Then increase some fats in that diet. So even some dark chocolate, could even have some avocados, eggs and salmons are high in fat, nut butters, even bitter ice cream or bitter cream. So what we're doing is we're trying to keep ourselves on calories quite high, which are kind of low residue, low fiber, low carbohydrates. So we're having still quite a high energy in that fight week, just maybe not from your carbohydrates and high fiber foods, which we are used to. Our last question, so question five, was how to stop sugar cravings. Sugar can be quite highly addictive. So there was a study by Di Nicolatino in 2017. What they have found is in terms of the high reward kind of sensory mechanisms behind sugar, it's very similar to addictive kind of drugs like tobacco, even alcohol, even cocaine. If you have a kind of quite a bad diet in kind of a lot highly refined sugar, if we go completely opposite and cut it out, we're going to go cold turkey. Basically, what that's going to do is just going to increase your drive to have it, and it's going to make you go absolutely mental. So in terms of that, don't cut it out completely straight away. It's going to make you feel horrendous. So what we would say there is we probably want kind of small amounts compared to having large amounts. We probably want to still have kind of maybe a few pieces of chocolate or something like that a day, just a lot less calories and less energy than you've been used to before. So what we're doing is we're going from that high sugar intake, and over time we're decreasing it rather than just stopping it completely. Then what we can do is we can kind of do some kind of what I like to call sugar hacks or craving hacks. So what we're going to do here is we're going to try and change our kind of taste perception of sugar, still try and get a sweet reward from certain foods which are healthier and lower calorie. So certain things what we can do is if you're having maybe a lot of sugar from fruit juices or even a lot of junk food kind of Cokes and stuff like that, maybe have a Diet Coke drink. Maybe one a day. Ain't going to be detrimental. It's going to be cutting your kind of sugar intake by 50 grams. It's going to be a lot healthier. Over time, when we decrease our sugar intake, a lot of man-made refined sugars, and we have fruit, we get our sugar and a lot of kind of taste and sugary rewards from fresh fruit. So by increasing a lot of fresh fruit in your diet, still have that sweet kind of perception, and it's going to reduce your cravings for other sugars. When you have a lot of highly refined sugar, and I'll tell people to do this, if you have a chocolate bar and then you eat an apple, that apple's not going to taste as sweet. Whereas if you didn't have a chocolate and you've not had anything sweet for maybe a day or two, try that apple. I guarantee you it'll taste much better and much sweeter. So getting a lot of kind of sweetness from fresh fruits. In terms of that, what we try and do in terms of like kind of chocolate cravings is we might put a bit of dark chocolate into some of our meals. We might put a bit of dark chocolate grated on some strawberries and yogurt. We might even get some kind of sweetener flavoured kind of protein yogurts. A lot of kind of supermarkets now, especially Aldi and Lidl's in the UK, will do some like chocolate protein puddings or caramel protein puddings and protein mousses. These are a great kind of healthier swap alternative in terms of getting kind of that sweetness, that chocolatey taste perception, but still getting good high protein and high calcium intake for a lot less calories. What we'd also do is we can make some kind of homemade protein pudding. So maybe add a scoop of, or half a scoop of kind of chocolate whey protein, add that to a bit of yogurt, mix it up, maybe put a few kind of nuts or berries on top of that just to get that sweet craving and just to make sure that we are feeling kind of satiated and having a bit of sweetness. Also, a couple other things kind of non-nutrition wise, what we can do to stop these sugar cravings is one, make sure we're getting adequate sleep. So if we're getting adequate sleep, 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night, what's this been shown? It's been shown to reduce the appetite hormone, the ghrelin, which makes us feel hungrier. But also, if we're lacking sleep, what's going to happen is we're going to basically crave some foods which gives us a quick release our energy. And these high fat, high sugar kind of products, such as chocolate, gives us that. And then what happens, it comes as a vicious cycle because you're craving the sweet stuff to give us an energy rise, but then we get an energy crash after it. And then what do? You go back to kind of that. So really make sure you're getting adequate sleep. Another one is reduce stress levels. So as we're getting a lot high stressful, what happens is sometimes appetite can reduce. We're kind of running on empty and then we just want some kind of quick, high energy sugar fixes to ingest. Almost take time for yourself to reduce that stress. See if we can have some coping mechanisms to reduce stress. Whether it's to go to gym more, whether it's to read a book, just to make more time for yourself to make sure that we're not getting into a high stressful, low sleep environment, which you're just going to increase your cravings for sugar and kind of junk food for that high energy. Last thing is, everybody has a sweet tooth. It's just about learning to kind of curb it with the right foods and with the right diet and also the right lifestyle. Once you do that and you get into a cycle of doing that, I guarantee you that your cravings for sugar will almost be completely gone just by having much healthier foods.
Okay guys, so that's the end of the episode. Big thanks and big shout out to Lee Rickards for his fantastic information about nutrition for boxing. Range of different subjects there, but if you want to learn more from Lee, go and visit his Instagram page, boxingscience_nutrition. And on this page, he shares healthy recipes, sports science research for nutrition in boxing, and a load of different tips for you to get the most out of your nutrition. And also, if you're wanting to get in touch with Lee for like a bespoke one-to-one nutrition plan, just send him a direct message and he can send you to the relevant sources. So like I said at the start, if you're not subscribed yet, hit the subscribe button. If you want to give us a review, give us a like, or give us hopefully a 5-star review, and let us know what you think of the podcast and some future topics or questions that you may have, or just let us know how we're getting on. Okay guys, thank you very much. Hopefully see you on the next episode of Boxing Science Podcast.